Welcome to the Writer's Weekly Podcast, a forum geared toward the writing enthusiast and those who want to make money from their writing. I'm Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of Writer's Weekly, and I'll be your host along with Angela Hoy, the creator of Writer's Weekly and President and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service book publishing company. Whether you want to learn how to become a professional writer, how to find writing gigs, or even publish your own book, then you come to the right place. We'll be discussing all kinds of topics relating to the writing and publishing industries. Don't forget, you can also click over to writersweekly.com. There, you'll find not only thousands of articles about professional writing, you can also find current paying markets and job listings to help you boost your writing career and even your bottom line. But for now, let's get on to this episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. Hello again, and welcome back. This is episode 3. I'm Brian Whidden, and I am here with Angela Hoy. Hi, Angie.
How's everybody doing today?
Well, I'm doing good.
Good.
Well, last week, we finished up episode 2 of our 2-part episode of Scammers. And I'm sorry, it is pollen season here in North Georgia, and man, y'all are going to hear me clearing my throat and stuff. I'm very sorry about that, but
our black dogs are having a green tint to their fur right now.
Black dogs are turning yellow.
They are.
Good Lord. Okay, so we finished up recording the second half of the Scammers episode, and we wrapped everything up and went upstairs. Now, we record in our basement, which is basically an apartment. And we took everything up, sat on our porch, as we like to do in the evenings, and we played back the recording in order to listen to it. I hadn't done any editing yet when we do this, just to kind of see where I'm going to have to, you know, trim some things and cut some things out and stuff like that. And we found something in there. Go on, Angie. Tell them what happened.
We were just sitting there listening, and at 14 minutes and around 5 seconds, a voice overtalked my voice. It was louder than me, and I had a microphone. We didn't hear that voice when we were recording.
No. In fact, you were in the middle of talking.
Right. And it just overtalked me.
I heard nothing.
Me.
You heard nothing. And the way it sounds on the recording, it should have been perfectly audible to us.
Yeah, but we didn't hear it when we were
recording.
But
I heard nothing.
Yeah, until we listened.
We have had some people listen to it, and they've come back with their opinions of what it is.
So what we'd like all y'all to do is go to writersweekly.com, click on the News from the Home Office link, and in there you will find where I wrote about the voice, and you can click on the links to listen to that episode. There's 3 different links to choose from. And then in the comments box under that article, we would love for you to tell us what you heard.
Yeah.
It's 3 specific words.
We're not going to say what we think it is.
No, and it is creepy. And yeah. I will add that was a week ago, and I have not been back in the basement apartment since then until today.
In fact, that night, I had to go back down to the basement. I had the heebie-jeebies when I came down here. I'm like, I don't want to go down there, man. Well, so, yeah, check that out. And give us your comments on writersweekly.com. Click on the News from the Home Office link. Down at the very bottom of that page, there is a comment section. We would love to hear what you think you heard on that recording. So we do encourage you that you do listen to that that first and second episode, though, because it is about scammers. It can protect you. We actually give you sound advice on how to protect yourself and make sure that anybody that you're signing up to publish a book with is not going to scam you. If you want to make sure you're not getting scammed, though, come on over to booklocker.com. We are a full-service publishing company. We've been in business over 25 years. There are no overseas call centers. There's no chat bots popping up on the screen for you to talk to a unnamed person. You communicate directly with Angela and her team.
I want to add that when they come to the website and click contact, it goes directly to me.
There you go. We use the same major printer as the big publishing companies. Your book ends up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple eBooks, Kobo if you're in Canada. Any bookstore can get copies of your book. Best of all, you know that you're safe. You're not going to pay an arm and a leg to get your book published. So if you go to booklocker.com, click the publish and sell link to review our packages and get started, or you can click the contact link and get your questions answered by Angela. Go there right now. That's booklocker.com.
Can I add that our books are also now on Target.com and Walmart.com?
Well, you can, but I just did a perfect plug. It sounded great. But now you're gonna
just go ahead. What thousands of websites
you're the
carry
boss.
Our books.
There yeah. you go. Yeah, our books, just like any other publisher, can be carried by any website, any bookstore. We're not the biggest, but we have the same reach as the big guys. So.
Yep.
So today we're going to be talking about an organization called NaNoWriMo, and I'll spell that for you. It's NaNoWriMo. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it stands for National Novel Writing Month. NaNoWriMo's executive director, whose name is Kilby Blades, has just posted a video on YouTube back on March 31st. Saying that the nonprofit was going to be shut down and couldn't afford to continue to operate. And we've been seeing a lot of feedback over this development on various platforms like Reddit, and it seems that the organization had a pretty big following. So we felt this was worth doing an episode on, because it seems like a lot of people out there now are worried about, wow, what do I do now? There's no more NaNoWriMo. And my advice to you would be, don't worry. And we're going to tell you why. Angie, can you give us a little rundown on NaNoWriMo?
Yeah, it was launched in 1990 by a freelance writer. He started a website, and he encouraged writers to write 50,000 words every November. So, write a book. Short book, but a book. It was called National Novel Writing Month. In 2006, it was registered as a nonprofit. It grew and grew. They had a board of directors and employees. The original creator stepped down in 2011 to write full-time. That raised my eyebrow. By then, the organization had pretty much exploded. They do not pay cash prizes, and it's questionable as to what the winners actually accomplished or, quote, won, and we'll talk about
that
later.
We'll get into that a little bit more, yep.
It expanded so big that for years they've been carrying crippling six-figure debt. And there's three disturbing controversies. One, how much money they were spending, the financial issues. Two, the organization made a public statement supporting the use of AI when writing after welcoming sponsors that sell AI programs for writers. And that's what we researched online. That's what we found online. Three, I'm getting the pollen too. There was an allegation that there was a child predator online on their children's forum. They have forums for adults, forums for kids, to talk about writing. And somebody allegedly reported to the organization that there was a person on the children's forum who I guess was a moderator, one of their 800 volunteers, who was a predator. And we'll get into that later, too. But the big controversy with that was people got very upset because it took the organization allegedly
six months
to take that guy off their website.
Yep. Now, Angela, I've noticed, so one of the factors of NaNo's demise, and from here on out, we're going to call it NaNo,
yeah,
because it's
just
easier.
Too much for the tongue to handle.
The first time, I have to admit, I had not heard of NaNoWriMo. When you came out to me, did you hear NaNoWriMo's closing? I'm like, what's NaNoWriMo? Is that like a transformer or something? A NaNoWriMo. NaNoWriMo.
I've known what they are all along, but you're more involved in the technical stuff, so we'll give you a pass on that.
So, what got the lion's share of the attention, at least from the YouTube video, was the financial condition of the organization. So can you give us some more details about that?
Well, the more I read, and I mean, I watched the 20, well, we both watched the 27-minute video, so our listeners don't have to.
It was painful.
The current director, she seemed to kind of passively throwing the blame on people who'd worked there before, but then I found that she previously had been on the board of directors. I'm sure it wasn't her fault or any one person's fault of what happened to the organization. But the more I read, they went from having a website that encouraged people to write 50,000 words in November to selling products, having events. It just exploded. And I don't know who was doing their accounting, but they were clearly overspending for a very long period of time. And the more I read, it seemed like the Wild West. It just so much going on at that organization. They had a mailing list of 500,000 people. How many participants were you researched that? How many were participating?
I think
in November?
It was like in June of 2016. They had over 400,000 people sign up and do this thing.
Wow, that's just incredible. Their annual budget, so they claimed, was $1.3 million a year, but their donations weren't keeping up with that. In 2020, they got a $150,000 COVID relief loan, which, of course, they had to repay. 50% of their income was from merchandise and memberships. It just goes on and on. There's so many numbers. In 2023, now think about this, $1.3 million annual budget. In 2023, 910,000 of that went to their employees' salaries and benefits. And I'm not sure how many employees they had. We read online that there were 12, but we couldn't verify that. That was on some website with listed salaries.
And most of this is coming from the YouTube video that was put out by the executive director of Nano. So
yeah, and research we did online as
this
well.
This isn't third-hand info. This is directly from the company saying this.
So if you're paying your employees $910,000 a year, but you're only bringing in $1.3 million, that doesn't leave a lot left over for overhead or anything else.
Anything.
Yeah, anything. That's just not much.
Yeah, running a business or a nonprofit is not cheap.
Yeah, now, so they went 2023 from $910,000 in salaries, 2024, that dropped to $847,000. That's still an incredible amount of money for those few employees. 180,000 a year in merchandise fulfillment expenses. You want to talk about that?
I actually have a section a little bit later. We'll get into that. But yeah, they were merchandising, I guess, selling some T-shirts and trinkets and stuff that had their logo and things like that. Yeah.
In 2020, they had a six-figure debt, and according to the video, they still carry that debt today.
Mm-hmm. It looks like they really could. Well, you know, the whole $150,000 COVID loan, most of everything they were doing was online.
Yeah.
It didn't require humans to be present, because to participate in what they were doing, and I guess let's jump into that real quick. Basically, it would start in November, and they, you know, ready, set, go, and you had a month to write 50,000 words. And from what I could gather, I guess you go onto their website and you start typing.
Yeah.
And their website basically does a word count on everything that you're doing. So rather than doing like a Word document or, you know, typing it out on any other word processing program and then turning it in, you typed it into basically their system and it knew how many words you were typing. And then once you got to 50,000 words, you're a winner. We'll get into that.
You're a winner.
We'll get into that a little bit more.
I want to break in for just a second. Sure. The video warned people that if you have writing saved in their system, you need to go and get it and download it before the website completely shuts it down.
Yeah.
But she also warned that the website is so antiquated that it keeps breaking, keeps locking up.
Yeah. So to accomplish this feat of, let's say, 400,000 people logging onto your site and writing 50,000 words. Basically, you need you need IT people.
Sure.
Those IT people don't necessarily have to be in the same room.
Correct.
And you don't need your board of directors involved with this. You don't need employees, again, other than those tech people, unless you're going to have some folks maybe on a computer to help coach or answer questions for anybody. So why do you need $150,000 of COVID relief? Because really your whole platform's online. Where's the money going?
Well,
where were you losing money that you needed a $150,000 loan for COVID relief?
We didn't find any evidence that they actually had office space, correct?
Not that I could tell.
I assume
I know they were.
Everybody who worked for them worked from their homes.
Yeah, I know that they were based in Berkeley, California, mm-hmm. But I could find nothing that said that they have office space or anything mm-hmm. like that. Now, I can't confirm one way or the other. I couldn't find any confirmation.
Programming note, or maybe it's an editor's note. I don't care. We did some more research after we recorded this podcast and found out that NaNoWriMo does have office space at 1400 Shattuck Avenue in Berkeley, California, right there in the same building as Commando Sushi and Bing Wong Cleaners. And now back to our podcast.
On that. So,
well, and based on the revenues, less their employees' salaries and benefits, I don't think they'd have enough money for rent left over.
Yeah. Along with everything Again, else. That's part yeah. of that very little bit of money you have left over after you paid all your employees, supposedly $900,000 of yeah. that out of $1.3 million. That wouldn't leave you much for office space rental. So,
correct.
So that was that perked my interest there. So looks like they really could get their act together when it came to handling their money. And while all that's going on, just last year, NaNo put out a statement concerning its stance on artificial intelligence and writing. Now, we've been warning people about the implications on AI in the professional writing world for some time now. I think going on 2 years, we've been writing articles about mm-hmm. about what's on the horizon here. And it's just, it's growing at a... AI's abilities are growing at an exponential rate here. So what was NaNo's take on AI?
April 31st, 2024, they posted an article that stated, and I quote, "We also want to be clear in our belief that the categorical condemnation of artificial intelligence has classist and ableist undertones, and that questions around the use of AI tie to questions around privilege." That post has since been deleted from NaNo, but we can still
I was
it.
Able to find that yeah. That quote on 404media.com. So, yeah, we found a source that actually was able to explain what that quote was. What happened after they said that?
Well, people weren't too happy about it because real writers don't want to use AI. Mm-hmm. They want to use their real words. Those, mm-hmm. That's what professional writers do. And two of their board members allegedly resigned after that statement was released.
I was able to find one of the posts from those board members, and yep, at least one of them, because he put it on X,
good.
And said, "Don't
him.
Ever use my name again." Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Great.
I think he was an author of some sort. So,
I'm sure.
So then, what happened after that?
Well, they started getting backlash online, of course, and in early August, debates about AI. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me preface that with this is another. Thing they put out on
another
the internet,
quote,
another statement.
This was their clarification
right.
of their original statement that pissed everybody off.
Yeah. In early August, debates about AI on our social media channels became vitriolic. It was clear that the intimidation and harassment we witnessed were causing harm within our community of writers. The FAQs we crafted last week were written to curtail those behaviors.
So now they're the behavior police.
I guess so.
They're going to tell you how to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you
what you can say about AI and what you can, I
yeah.
guess.
And I got to tell you, the words intimidation and harassment and causing harm, those are some pretty strong words for just people arguing online.
Yeah. Or just debating online.
We get nasty emails all the time from people that don't like something we say. Our answer is, if it's nasty, we... click the delete button and we go on with our lives. We don't cry and complain about being harmed.
I have many times, you know, reminded when somebody sends me a nasty email about something and we clearly don't agree on something, mm-hmm. you know, I keep it professional.
Yeah.
I maintain my professionalism all the time.
Yeah. But and the idea that they have to, you know, that they had to start doing something to control people or curtail behaviors, that was just
yeah, that's
that
a little,
struck me. That struck
that's
me.
Odd.
So, something about the sponsors, too.
Oh, they, in their, in the video, mm-hmm. it shows how their sponsorship started dropping. So they lost two board members. People were very upset and talking about them all over the internet. They were known worldwide. And then they lost some sponsorships as well.
And I think one of the one of the vitriolic things that was going on were that people were complaining that some of their sponsors were AI creators.
Yeah,
or,
I found
AI companies.
Yeah, AI software for writers.
Yeah,
and that was, again, allegedly a couple of their sponsors were those companies. We also read that on their forum, if somebody complained about one of NaNoWriMo's sponsors, that they could be temporarily banned from the forums.
So it sounds like they were trying to keep a very iron-fisted control of their followers.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty disturbing. Well, we also have a contest on our website, but the people that win are actually real winners. They're excellent writers. We only allow 500 people to enter. It's held every quarter. It's the Writers Weekly quarterly 24-hour short story contest, and you can read about it on 24hourshortstorycontest.com. The entry fee is only $5. We announce the topic at noon Central Time on the date of the contest. You have 24 hours to turn around and send us your story. You can win first place, $300, plus a book publishing package from BookLocker, so that's over $1,000. Second prize, $250. Third prize, $200. And 100 people win honorable mentions. They win free books. And it was always popular from the very beginning, and we never changed it because if it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
Right.
By the way, how long has the, you've been doing this contest forever?
I think the contest is in its 27th year because Writers Weekly is older than BookLocker.
Okay, so 24hourshortstorycontest.com, or you can go to writersweekly.com. There is a link to the 24-hour short story contest.
Ad right up top.
Top there, and click on that and get in on it.
It's a lot of fun.
You can win $300 plus a free publishing package.
It's a lot of fun.
That's saved a lot of people a lot of money on getting their book out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so we have the financial troubles. Then we have this AI controversy. But in 2023, they had a really big problem that left everybody really concerned about child safety. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, there's many mentions of it online. Somebody found one of the moderators on their children's writer forum who was allegedly referring teenagers to a website that you don't want your teenager or child going to. The person reported it to NaNoWriMo, excuse me, and allegedly sent them screenshots, and it took 6 months for the organization to remove that person from the forum, from the children's forum. The person who reported it got so fed up that he or she became a whistleblower and blew the whistle on X and let people know what was going on. Clearly inadequate security on people moderating their young writers. In the video, she admits that they were not doing background checks on their 800 volunteers. And I was wondering when I was watching the video, did those moderators have access to those children's contact information? Were the parents of the children signing their kids up, putting their address and phone number? She didn't go into that, but that concerned me.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't keep records of their volunteers. So the concern about the level of access that they had to that database, that worried me, but that we didn't read anything about any of the moderators, you know, finding where those kids lived or anything.
Mm-hmm.
There was, according to a lot of information that you found, Brian, there was little to no oversight of adult and child interactions on the Young Writers Program forum.
Yeah.
Now, they had an all-ages policy on their regular adult forums, which is interesting. But yeah, they had all these kids that belonged to this group, and they would come in and talk back and forth and talk with these adults, and something happened.
One thing that I found is that they had forums also that were hosted by quote unquote teachers. If you went to NaNo and, you know, log on to NaNo, don't get me wrong, nobody was showing up at their office and saying, hi, I'm a teacher. You just get on their website and say, I'm a teacher and
educator.
I'm an educator. I want to start a forum for young kids. And they would give you the space to do that. And you could invite kids to come into your little online classroom where you can talk to them about whatever you want.
Yeah.
And a lot of that went on. And they never verified if any of those people were actually educators at all. Yeah. They just, all you had to do was said, I'm a teacher and I want to, and they just, oh, sure, here you go. Here's your little chat room for these kids.
Again, the Wild West.
And nobody knew who any of these people were. And you, I believe, have a quote from the whistleblower from a Fandom Pulse Substack?
Yeah, on Substack, there's a user named Fandom, F-A-N-D-O-M, space Pulse, Fandom Pulse. NaNoWriMo has had a has also had a problem with child predators, as was reported by the X account at Arumi_Kai. Contact me on Writers Weekly if you need a link to that. I'm going to try to spell that. This person said last year the nonprofit NaNoWriMo ignored reports about one of their mods funneling teen minors to their website, from their website to an ABDL fetish site, only banning the mod 6 months later when the users who uncovered the issue got frustrated and went public.
Angie, do you know what an ABDL fetish website is?
I don't know.
I had to look this one up.
I'm glad you had to look it up.
I'm glad you're sitting down. ABDL stands for Adult Babies and Diaper Lovers. And this person allegedly was directing kids
to that website.
To a website that catered to this stuff.
We're all going to take a vomit moment.
I'm going to go puke in my shoes.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, if somebody's volunteering for my organization and I just get a hint that this might be going on, I would cut that person off that moment and then research it.
Well, that's the thing they had the power to just
Terminate
a mod.
Yeah.
So why didn't you until further notice, until you could find out what's going on? But no, they let this person just keep going and keep going. What did you find out? You did some research on an FBI investigation into this.
No, that was in the video.
I'm sorry.
She admitted
yes.
that they contacted the FBI, and the FBI wanted to know who that guy was, and they couldn't give the FBI any information because they didn't know who he was.
Now, I did a little research in another area, and I found, give me a second, I just want to pull this up on my computer. I'm not finding it now. I found another, here it is. So I've got a, from medium.com, they actually have a screenshot of the Arumi Kai, I'm not sure if it, I can't really, it doesn't show what platform it's on. I don't know if it's X or what, but this is from that Arumi Kai person. But they're actually saying on this post, and it looks like it was done on November 7th, I'm assuming probably 2024,
mm-hmm.
That this person, the Arumi Kai person, and others were concerned about this mod and NaNo not doing anything, and they actually contacted the FBI.
Oh.
Executive director in her YouTube video claimed that NaNo called the FBI and said, we want you to come in and look at it. But according to this whistleblower, she or he and several other NaNo users put together all these screenshots and everything, and they contacted the FBI. So we have a conflict in the story here as far as who contacted the FBI to come investigate NaNo's mod there.
Sounds more reasonable to me that if they put off getting rid of him for 6 months, that they weren't going to pick up the phone and call the FBI.
It
sounds to me like the FBI called them.
I'm apt to believe the whistleblower, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a feeling NaNo wasn't going to do a thing. That's just my opinion, but it sounds to me like, based on everything that I've looked at, they weren't going to move on this.
Their hand was forced.
So they according to the executive director on YouTube, they eventually fixed all their security issues. But by then, I think it was a little too little.
Their reputation was toast by then.
They're gone. Yeah. Let's. So there's your big three right there: the financial, the AI debate, and the predator there. Let's talk a little bit about the core culture of NaNoWriMo and that how that might have affected their eventual collapse. Because as we've done all this research, we don't just find what we're looking for; we find all these other peripheral things, and I just don't know how so many people took this place seriously. I looked up on Wikipedia about NaNoWriMo, read all about it, and here's one thing that jumped out at me. Again, from Wikipedia, no official prizes are awarded for length, quality, or speed, though self-awarded badges are available on the site. Anyone who reaches the 50,000-word mark is declared a winner. Beginning November 20th, participants can submit their novel to be automatically verified for length and receive a printable certificate, an icon they can display on the web, and inclusion on the list of winners. There we go. There's another one of those big buzzwords, inclusion. No precautions were taken to prevent cheating, since the reward for winning is the finished novel itself and the satisfaction of having written it. There is little incentive to cheat. Novels are verified for word count by software and may be scrambled or otherwise encrypted, before being submitted for verification, although the software does not keep any other record for text input. It's possible to win without anyone other than the author. Let me start that again. It is possible to win without anyone other than the author ever seeing or reading the novel. Verification ended with the website design or a redesign in 2019. Winning is now achieved by simply entering a word count of more than 50,000 words. You know what that tells me, Angela?
What?
Everybody gets a trophy.
Right. They sure do.
It's participation trophy time.
So you said something yesterday. I hope I'm not jumping ahead. That You could write about video games. You could write a script for a video game.
I found
as long
that
as
further
it was 50,000 words
in Wikipedia. So, yeah, you could write about anything. Doesn't have to be a novel.
So I could go in and copy and paste a recipe over and over and over and over again until I get 50,000 words in there.
Probably.
And I get an icon for my website.
That's
and a
right.
certificate.
And you get to tell people you're a
winner.
I mean, ridiculous. I'm sorry. I am all for encouraging people to write.
Mm-hmm.
We do it all the time.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, not everybody's a writer.
Not everybody's a good writer. Yeah.
And not everybody's going. You know, bottom line, if you enjoy writing and you write for your own your own happiness, then go for it. Do it. Write whatever you want.
Sure.
You know, but you don't need some big nonprofit to pat you on the back and say you're a winner.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make you anything.
Yeah.
And especially if you didn't have to compete with anybody. Again, not everybody is a writer and not everybody's a good writer.
Yeah.
And that was kind of their take on AI was, well, anybody should be able to use AI to write because they may not be a good writer. Well, that's what a good writer is. It's somebody that can write without AI.
True.
And write something interesting.
Can I add that?
Oh, go ahead.
With our contest, you win first, second, or third prize, or you're one of 100 honorable mentions. And if you don't win one of those 103 positions,
mm-hmm.
you're not a winner.
You're not a winner.
You don't get a prize.
They're not going to get a trophy?
No, they're not going to get an icon to put on their website. I know, but the people that work the hardest have
do you
the
have
most
any,
creativity.
Do you have any safe spaces for people that don't win? No.
No, okay. But I've got a whole folder of emails from people complaining that there's
I've seen it.
I saw there one, it was early on in the contest and I've seen it since then, but I'll never forget it. It was my mom read my story in the top story and she says my story was better. I swear.
Well, there you go.
That was an email I received.
How can you argue with mom?
Yeah.
So we start off with what I think was a good idea. You know, a professional writer decided to start this thing to
it's a great
help
idea.
People get into writing. Mm-hmm. And I think, knowing how to write and being able to take your thoughts and put them on you know, in word form is a very important skill. Yeah. But then it blew up into something just, I don't know, it just didn't seem to really have a purpose at that point.
They were darting in so many different directions to, I guess, to try to increase their revenues. Mm-hmm. And if you expand so quickly into so many different areas, pretty soon you're so big that even if you wanted to claw your way back to a smaller organization, you can't.
Yeah.
Because you have too many liabilities going on.
And I don't know what I was about to say. Okay. Well, moving forward, so I continued doing some more research here, and I found something else that I think that just wraps this story up. Got another buzzword for you, Angela. DEI.
Oh, I know what that is.
Yeah.
Hey, it's cool to be DEI.
I found 8 separate pages on their website. 8. Okay. Having to do with DEI-focused content. This included statements of vision, tactics, and accomplishments. And let me tell you, when you start talking about not hiring somebody because of the color of their skin and somebody else because of the color of their skin, I don't like the word tactics used in there.
Yeah,
that just bothers me.
Yeah.
Many of these really amounted to nothing more than race quotas. And here's some of the examples I found. One of their visions was that at least 40% of their staff members and leadership team were to be BIPOC, and BIPOC stands for Black, Indigenous, and People of Color.
Yeah.
So basically, they wanted to make sure at least 40% of their staff was anything but a white person.
But at the time, it was less than 20%.
At that time, it was less than 20%. So yeah. I don't know if they were going to get rid of some of their white people to put into it, or they're just going to change hiring practices. I don't know. But right there, you're talking about, we're going to bring people on board, whether or not they're qualified based on the color of their skin, is what they're doing. Another one of their, quote, tactics was that white volunteers were going to be conversant and active in racial equity work and prepared to welcome BIPOC into their writing communities. Another one was modernization standards based in...
Moderation standards.
I'm sorry, moderation. What did I say?
Modernization.
Modernization. Well, they were trying to modernize.
Right.
They were becoming DEI. Modernization standards based in racial equity and anti-racism. Moderators prepared to welcome BIPOC into their online community. So those two statements right there tell me that they are operating on the assumption that white people are not non-racist.
Well,
that just sounds like an assumption
me.
That all their white people were racist.
And
so they all needed training not to be racist.
I have participated in many writing communities online. I have never
asked anybody what color they are.
To reject anybody for their skin color.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what it was. Yeah. They were always all inclusive.
Yeah.
So
okay.
that just makes no sense to me.
In fact, it seems like
they're trying to force their moderators to... into this ideology.
Well, basically, they're indoctrinating them is what they're doing. Yeah. So, and then finally, another one of their visions was white participants are actively engaged in anti-racism practices. And again, that's just kind of going on this assumption that they're racist to start with.
Yeah.
So,
and when you say white participants, I'm assuming you're talking about forum participants. So that
I'm
were
assuming
trying
yeah.
to police the language.
Of anybody coming on their forums,
and just assuming that everybody was racist,
So when you combine this whole DEI focus with a lot of the language we pointed out earlier, with their, you know, their concerns about harm being done just by somebody arguing with you, or privilege, or ableist undertones. This, I think, is just an example of go woke, go broke, their DEI drive really kicked off in 2022, and that's when you really started seeing a decline, especially financially. I noticed that from 2018 to 2022, the average total of individual donations per year was around $32,000. After 2022, so in 2023, The individual donations dropped down to $27,000. So that's a 15% decline in individual donations after they started telling everybody how these wonderful DEI programs were going to be implemented in their forums and stuff. And then strangely enough, between 2022 and 2023, sponsorships and foundation grants were actually up 21% and 14% respectively. So apparently they were able to find, you know, groups that would give them money. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't surprise me. There are groups out there with a woke bent.
Yeah.
And so they gladly, but I think the way you really tell the temperature of your organization, if you're taking donations, is what is the average American willing to donate to you?
Yeah, what's the actual user
doing
for you versus clearly, these corporate sponsors? Yeah.
Clearly, the average nano user didn't feel like donating a lot of money to these people.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they, yeah. Let's see, payroll and benefits for staff. I found a pie chart on that video.
This is where things start to get
confusing. This is where things start getting a little weird, because we already gave you a bunch of numbers about their income, about their expenditures, about where their money was going. I saw a little pie chart on that same video. Mm-hmm. That said, 66% of their expenses from 2018 to 2023 were going to payroll and benefits for staff. Mm-hmm. And that salary.com. I went to salary.com and looked up what was the average salary for a NaNoWriMo
employee.
And it said that they were averaging $93,000 a year.
Yeah.
When you start doing all that math, it just didn't work.
Well, again, that was a third-party website.
Yeah.
They're pulling their information from somewhere, but you and I dove into the nonprofit paperwork.
We looked into their tax returns and stuff.
And we were able to see up to 2022, and they had the board of directors, and the top two guys were making... They were making more than $93,000 a year, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
The other board members weren't making any money. Of course, those tax returns don't list employees and how much each employee is making. But so you found, they said 66% of expenses were payroll and benefits.
66% of expenses were payroll and benefits, yeah.
Then the numbers that they gave in that video.
When you go back and look at that, $1.3 million, and they were doing 90-something million in
$900,000
in salaries and benefits and all, and then you come up here and say 66%. All of this, we weren't able to make the math work.
It was a lovely math puzzle.
Somebody doesn't know what they're talking about over there. I found that 14, again, same pie chart that I was looking at with all this stuff. This was listing their expenses. 14% of this was going to fulfillment expenses. And that was one of the things that their executive director talked about, was their merchandise fulfillment expenses was causing them problems. And I look at that as, wait a minute. When you're merchandising, basically you're supposed to sell your merchandise for more than you paid for it. And you're supposed to charge the person that orders that merchandise the shipping. That way you're not catching that cost. So I don't know how it cost them 14% of all their $1.3 million to fulfill their merchandising.
So if you think, let's see, the revenue versus salaries and benefits, how much money's left over after that? That's actually less than 14.4%. So where did the extra percentages come from for the full? Seriously, can't make sense of it at all.
No. 11% for overheads. And again, that brings the question, did they have office space? Did they supply computers for their board members and employees? I don't know.
Oh, I have an answer. It came from that video.
Oh, you okay.
She admitted in the video that they had some possible labor violations and they had to hire a labor attorney.
Does that count as overhead?
Yes.
Okay.
That's
wow.
An administrative expense.
Oh, okay. That can get expensive.
Yeah.
Now, with all these expenses that they had, and again, this was the whole operation was you know, 400, 500,000 people in November flood your website and start typing and start entering their word count, right? Mm-hmm. And your system is supposed to keep track of who these people are and how many words they have so they can get their free badges and printable certificates mm-hmm. and icons for their website. Yet their expenses for tech was only 5.4%.
Yeah.
They only spent 5.4% of that one, that $1.3 million to upgrade their computer systems, their servers, their technical stuff, their IT staff.
And again, she admitted that it just keeps crashing, keeps crashing.
Yeah.
Also, she said that they tried to merge with another writers organization. Mm-hmm. But that didn't work because that organization did not want to absorb their six-figure debt.
Yeah, yeah.
Even more disturbing, they were going to try to get financing to stay afloat, but they couldn't because their financial statements are not audited.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a CPA, and I'm not a lawyer, but I think that nonprofits are held to a higher standard with regards to tax returns, and it blew me away that they don't have an auditor looking at their financial statements, which now that we've seen the funky math, that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and again, we could only find tax returns up to 2022.
Now, that just may be a delay with the IRS or something.
That could be.
Yeah.
That could be. Yeah. But it would be interesting to see 2023 and see where their money was going.
And if anybody wants to go and look at their tax information, go to Writers Weekly, click contact button, let me know, and I'll send you the links where you can find that stuff.
All right, so one other thing that I want to touch on as far as the culture of this place. When I was going through the Medium article about the mods and the child groomer and all that stuff, they directed... they had a link to another site called Speak Out, and that listed a whole lot of complaints from juveniles who were in their online forums complaining about the mods and the mods' incompetence, I guess, and not keeping those spaces, quote unquote, safe. And as I read through a lot of these complaints, This is supposed to be a forum for writing.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a forum supporting kids and learning how to write. And yet everything they're talking about, these kids complaining about, is they didn't feel safe talking about their homosexuality, LGBTQ issues. They didn't feel safe talking about abortion. I mean, I'm sorry. We're not here trying to sound political, but clearly this platform was political. This looked like a big indoctrination center.
And not only that, in many different ways.
Yeah.
But not only that, they were supposed to be having kids talk about writing.
Talk about writing. Yeah. But all I see, I mean, just one thing after another about who's picking on who, and, you know, who's gay and who's not gay, and who's picking on the, you know, this person for this, and who's saying that about that. And it's
but there
like,
was some bullying going on.
There's some bullying going on, but it's like, if you're there to learn to talk about writing, talk about writing. Why are you talking about all this other stuff?
Yeah.
You know, go to an LGBTQ forum somewhere and talk about your, you know, about your homosexuality or whatever. But it seemed like they tried to turn this into a free for all.
A lot of political stuff going on, and again, it wasn't just you know straight kids were not feeling comfortable, gay kids weren't feeling comfortable.
It seems like nobody felt comfortable there.
Why
go there?
Have a forum for writers. Why not just open a forum for a free for all for kids to you know, pick on each other all day long?
Yeah. And that's what it kind of looked like it turned into.
And that one kid said he didn't feel safe. He wasn't talking about a predator.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like he was talking about bullied.
Online bullying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's in a nutshell, I think there's just their whole culture was just, it was a big woke, it turned into a big woke experiment, I think.
It was such a great idea, such an honorable thing, and it just turned into the toilet. It just got really, really messy, and now they're out of business.
And while I was on Google trying to find something, I saw one of the results was, what do I do now that there's no more Nano? And I'm like, how about go on with your life?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And there are thousands of websites out there dedicated to writing. There are
honorable
thousands
websites.
Of writers groups on Facebook, on Reddit, on you name it. You will find another place. Don't worry.
And there's also copycats that have come out over the years.
Yeah. Trying to be the next Nano.
Plenty of other competitions.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't worry, folks. Nano Rhino is going away, but you'll have places to talk about writing and discuss writing. And if you need a place to write, not 50,000 words, but around 800, and you might win $300, come to 24hourshortstorycontest.com and you could sign up and have a chance to win. I mean, really win.
Yeah.
Be a real winner.
A real prize.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Angie, that about wraps it up for me. Do you got anything else you want to throw in here before we call it a day?
Well, just if anybody has any questions about anything, go to writersweekly.com and click the contact link, and it'll come right to me, and I'm happy to answer all your questions.
There you go. Well, we will see you all again next week. Thank you very much for listening. We definitely appreciate you choosing. By the way, if you're on the Apple podcast app, go over to that page and click that 5-star. Sorry.
Brian's playing with his pen. That's a click, click, click in the background.
I'm rolling my pen over my wedding ring and it's clicking. I'm sorry.
Okay, what were you saying?
If you're on the Apple Podcast app, there is a page. I think it's where the Writers Weekly Podcast main page is, and somewhere you should be able to find a star rating. If you like what you hear, give us that 5-star rating, please. This will definitely help us grow this thing and get the word out. If you got a book you want to publish, booklocker.com. We'll be happy to help you out there. And if you just want to read about the writing industry, learn a little bit about the writing industry, or find paying markets or jobs that are available. We update those jobs every week, so they are current. Come to writersweekly.com. We'll be glad to see you there. Don't forget to jump in there and fill in those comment areas down at the bottom of the page of these articles. We'd love to hear from you.
And it's completely free.
It is completely free. Doesn't cost you a penny.
You can read the entire website without subscribing.
And everybody's a winner.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening. We will see you next week on the Writers Weekly Podcast.
Stay safe, everybody.
Bye. I'm sorry.